Roll call. Aris Bazin is going to call the roll.
Okay. Jeff Tom. Gene Lozano. Judy Wilkinson. Aris Bazin is here. Peter Pardini. Donna Pomerantz. Lena Bandy. Joe Lopez. Vince Calderon, Steve Fort, Pam Metz, Charles Navarrete, Paul Patchy, Frank Welt, and Robert Wendt. Okay, we just have one absent then.
Okay. The next item is announcements. Do we have any announcements? Okay.
Just to remind everybody that we need to tell our friends that the Oak Room is on the third floor, R, on the elevator, it's the R, 3R you need to press.
Okay, thank you. I make a brief announcement. We have plenty of tickets for all of our other meals, so feel free, and we encourage you to support the organization and come to our functions and buy the meals. Oh, and I have one other announcement, and I know a lot of you have been told this at registration. For those of you who are guide dog users, there is a public park. We don't want you to be going into the public park and using that. Please use the South Tower relieving area. So that's very important. And I think Gene has an announcement.
I would like to, if anyone's had any problems with the South Tower elevator, the volume of the internal message, as well as the directional sounds outside of the cars, we've asked if they could increase the volume so it's more audible, particularly on the ground floor where there is the competing sounds from the gambling area and the PA system, but they are going to look into that. They're also going to be setting in the guide dog relieving area outside of the South Tower. They will be setting up some covers as much as they can on both the concrete and the grass sod relieving sections. And there are two cans out there to dispose of the plastic bags with the contents, and there is a box on each of the cans. So we wanted to let you know about that. And two is for all the meals, plated meals, please make certain that in your envelopes that you do have your ticket, because you will need to have your ticket there or the servers will not give you your meal. So you need to make certain that you have that. And if you don't, then go to the registration desk downstairs and see what the problem is. Thank you very much.
Okay. I think there's, who has an, is it Charlene? Okay, is there any way we can get a mic to Charlene? And Peter, if you could come down here for a quick second, I need to confer.
Thank you. We had, our announcement is with Guide Dog Users of California, and we have, for those who are coming to the luncheon for guide dog users, we have a treat for your dog, but in order to get it, you have to come to the banquet. I mean, to the luncheon. Yeah, come to the banquet, too. Yeah, it's for the luncheon only. But if you come to the luncheon, you'll get a treat for your dog. And
all right.
It's lamb jerky.
Thank you. Very good. And we have puppy raisers here coming every day, thanks to Charlene and others who worked on that. So already met a few. Okay, so the next item, item four, is review of the agenda, so we will do that. First is going to be approval of March 31st minutes. Then it's actually listed as item five, although these numbers don't necessarily mean anything. Item five is public comment on items not on the agenda. Item six is Newell Perry report. That's with Mitch Pomerantz. Item seven is Muttstrut. Item eight is 2016 budget. Item nine is San Gabriel Valley chapter roster disclosure. Item 10 is executive session. Do we have any items, and item 11 is adjournment. Do we have any items that anybody wants to add to the agenda? Hearing none. We will vote to accept the agenda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Abstentions. Okay. We are now on the approval of the minutes for March 31st. No, public comment comes next. Do I hear a motion for approval of the minutes? Yes. Okay.
We need to record.
Sorry, I thought one was there.
Thank you.
Down there.
I move, and I'm not sure if this is the appropriate motion, but I move to table the minutes to our next board meeting because the meeting took place on the 31st and board members just received them. So I haven't been able to read them, and Gene seconded.
Okay, that's a totally appropriate motion. It's non-debatable. All those in favor say aye. Sorry. All opposed? Abstentions. Okay. All right. We are now on public comment on items not on the agenda. If we could have somebody that would run a mic out there. If you have public comment, can you raise your hand, please? On items not on the agenda. And we'll restrict you to 1 minute, if at all possible. I'm not going to be the time monster, but I'm certainly going to, do my best. All right. Then we will go on to item six, which is the Newell Perry report. Can we get a mic out to Mitch Pomerantz?
Thank you very much. I almost mentioned it in public comment, Jeff, but truly the polar bears are stalking us here. It's just damn cold, folks. So, all right.
Hold on, Mitch. Before you start, are we able to get that? I know, Kat, you've been working on that. Do we think we can get that turned down a little bit?
Several of us would appreciate it.
Yeah, and I know she's been trying. All right, go ahead, Mitch. Sorry.
Members of the board, this is the Newell Perry report for 2016, and actually, in looking at the Constitution and bylaws, I should be providing one more regularly, and I will endeavor to do that. The trustees for the Newell Perry Endowment, for those who are new to the board, are myself as chair, Richard Rueda, and Margaret Buckman Garcia. My previous report to the CCB board covered the period ending in August of 2015, which prior to the board meeting, or up until the board meeting, was the last update received from Morgan Stanley, who handles the trust investments. At that time, the Newell Perry Endowment Trust was valued at $241,616.50. To refresh everyone's memories, the balance at the close of 2014 was $245,804.52. So the fund had gone down from the end of 2014 until the August report. On 12/31/15, the balance had increased by a modest 0.85% to $247,902.81. Through February of this year, the Newell Perry Endowment Trust was $238,257.90, which is a decrease of $9,644.91, or 3.89%. Fortunately, the market, if you follow such things, has been going up since that time, so we can hope for a strong bounce back. And that concludes my report on the status of the Newell Perry Endowment Trust, and I'll take any questions there might be.
Okay, hold on to the mic. Are there any questions for Mitch on the report? There's a motion, and I heard a second by, no, I heard a woman first, I thought. You don't get it. Hang on. Yes. Yes. Did I hear Judy do the second? I heard Donna. Okay. Okay, so Robert's the second then. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions. Okay, thank you. We're now on Muttstrut. Just to sort of recap before I turn it over to whoever, whether it's going to be Peter or Donna, I'll let them decide as to how to do this. But just to recap where we were, the committee, the Muttstrut Leadership Steering Committee had met and presented a report to the board the other day, a very ably given report by Donna, and among the highlights was that if we are to have this event, it will be an LA event, although it will be statewide in many respects in terms of the necessity to raise funds from throughout the state, that Donna and Debbie Cordero would be the co-chairs, that there would be there already is an incredible amount of community support, and a number of other details were given, including the need to hire over the last 4 month period an individual to do a lot of work, but especially the marketing and promotion end of it, as well as helping members to get their fundraising pages and other things going for those endeavors. The event date was going to be in mid-November again, just like it was last year. So that was sort of a brief rehash. And then no action was taken because the budget figures were going to be completed and presented to you today. And then if you adopt having the Muttstrut, then we will plug the revenue and the total revenue and expense lines into the overall budget, which we would then amend and adopt as which is our next item of business. So that's sort of a recap to get to there. I know it's going to be noisy and we're all going to be eating, but so we'll do the best we can. Peter, who's going to lead the way with this? Are you going to be the one to? Or Donna, do you want to say anything preliminarily first, or what? Okay, thank you.
Okay. Basically, I'll I'm going to read the... I'm going to go ahead and read the proposed 2016 MUTSTRUT budget for FY16. Revenues, we have registration fees, the amount of $12,000. Registration fees in the amount of $12,000.
That was the beginning.
That was the... sponsorships in the amount of $15,000. Donations in the amount of $3,000. Change fund reimbursement, $200. Total revenues for the LA region, $30,200. In this budget, we also included a charitable drawing, the revenues from that amount of $4,000. So the total revenues for the MUTSTRUT LA region plus the charitable drawing is $34,200. Now I'll go on to the expenses. Marketing and social media coordinator, salary and expenses, $6,000. Timing company expenses, $1,000. Web environment, $500. Brochures, flyers, and save the date forms and cards, $1,000. Bandanas, totes, and t-shirts, and $4,000. Awards is $600. Insurance is $800. Local rental park fees, $450. Portable toilets, $500. Signage, $300. Change fund, $200. Miscellaneous, $500. Regional advertising, $100. The total expenses for the LA region is $15,950. And for the charitable drawing, we're hoping to get a $1,000 donation for a first prize, but we still need to pay the first prize out. So I included an expense item of $1,000. The total expenses for the MUTSTRUT are $16,950. Revenues less expenses for the LA region, $14,250. $3,000 for the charitable drawing. Our total revenues less expenses combined is $17,250. And this concludes the proposed budget for the 2016 MUTSTRUT.
Okay, I am enjoying my food. Okay, I don't know whether... Donna, you want to say anything else before we open it up for questions, or whether you just want to open it for questions at this point? I think it's sort of self-explanatory, but you may have some remarks you want to make. So I'm gonna... It's up to you. Oh, okay, but I didn't know whether you wanted it.
There's one at the end.
I can pass mine down to Donna. To Donna.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, Don. I just didn't know whether you wanted it or not.
Oh, no worries. Just wanted to share with folks that, a couple of great additions. Debbie Cordero as co-chair. Community support is already there when we've been visiting folks. They've been saying we need to have a MUTSTRUT. And I hope everybody gets their water.
Yeah.
and I would just like to close with if we do have a MUTSTRUT in 2016, our top dog is Flower. So we already have a top dog for the, and Vince over here is saying, yay. So I guess he knows flour. Actually, he does. So anyway, and if anyone has any questions, as Jeff said, Peter and myself would look forward to answering them. And Debbie's not in here because she's out there helping Mary Lou. Oh, is she in here? Hey. Okay, I thought she was still out there. So anyway, we plan on working to have the dog agility, the dog adoption, you know, quite a number of things that we had last year, and there's huge community support. Folks who were there know that we had a lot of really fun surprises that happened that day because of generous donations from the community and friends of Mutt Strutt at the very last minute. So anyway, thank you.
Hey, thank you. We will open it up to board questions, and then we will, well, at some point, we'll entertain a motion, and we will also, since this will be a voting item, we'll also have public comment. So, but you know, Frank, I'm going to pass this down to Frank.
First off, in order to so that we actually have a motion to discuss, I move that the board approve the holding of a Mutt Strutt in the Los Angeles area in 2016. And then I have a comment, a question. Actually, two questions. The first question is to Peter, and the second question is probably to Donna. The first question is, Peter, I didn't quite hear the expense line item amount for the timing company. If you could just repeat that, please. And then after that, if Donna could, I'm wondering how we're going to get the number of registrations that will be required to make our $12,000 budget. That in my brain, that comes out to 400 people, and I'm just wondering if there are any insights into how we're going to increase our attendance this year, which I certainly hope.
The timing company expense item is $1,000. And I'm going to basically, to get additional runners and walkers and other things, this year we're planning to hire a marketing and social media coordinator that her primary responsibility will be marketing the events to runners, walkers, dog people, and just really hitting the social media in addition to that, too.
Ahead, Peter.
And you are correct, Frank. Our estimate was based on 400 people.
Okay. And Frank, to your question, Peter answered part of it. What I've been also attempting to share with folks is we know of a number of large sponsorships that are in line knocking on our door saying, when do we get the go so we could give you the money? And you know, these are good sponsorships, $1,000 and up. So we know as our cushion, as Peter said, the coordinator, their push will be all of that marketing, identifying events for us to go to as well. Their assistance will also be in promotion and a day of overseeing and assistance, coordinating with Debbie. Since we pretty much have it built, the event itself, there isn't as many hours bringing out all the details. And so this will allow all of us who are involved because we already have all those in writing and everything. It will allow us to also go out and help promote with the coordinator as well. So I'm not going to guarantee 400 runners because that's not honest. What I'm going to say is we are feeling very positive that by hiring this coordinator with this push for a fixed amount of time, they will have the expertise and be very familiar with all the social media tools accessible and the ones that aren't accessible to us, and doing outreach directly to the clubs and the dog folks, and we'll have more time to assist with all of that too under their leadership. But I know that we have big sponsorships coming our way. And so that will be the cushion. And I would be very excited if we had 400 folks. We have received commitment from our local chamber that they're going to help us promote as well, and several other entities. And so bringing on this coordinator who has the experience in coordination and promotion and marketing and all these social media tools and research experience will really help us push to get that, that event out there. So thank you. I hope I've answered your question. Oh, so you are going to come up here. Well, get up here. If that's okay with our president, of course.
Jeff, is it okay if I say something? It's Debbie Cordero.
Jeff said absolutely.
Just 60 seconds. This is just to add to what Donna just shared.
And who are you?
Debbie Cordero, second time.
Co-chair.
Sorry. Just 60 seconds really quick, just to add to what Donna was just sharing. Not only is this individual going to be out there marketing and promoting for us and approaching whatever entity is out there that will hear them, but I say, why not we? I think we are great promoters ourselves, people in this room, the CCB organization. I think if we just share with just one person or two, I think that might help our numbers as well, too, grow, I'm hoping, if we are a team, Team CCB, as they say, like we had. Thank you. Just wanted to share. Okay.
Hi, it's Steve Bauer from Los Angeles. I'm sorry. Sorry.
What Donna just suggested that I repeat that the public will be welcome, but after board questions. Debbie spoke because she was co-chair. I have three questions in general. As I understood, the amount that we're budgeting for the paid assistant is $6,000. Is that correct, Peter? And then could you tell me how much we expect to pay per hour? How many hours does that break down to, or how much a month? And, well, let me finish all my questions so that the mic can go to the proper people. So the rest of that question is, do we have someone in mind? And then my next question is, who is on the LA committee? I don't think I know some of the people. I don't know who's on that. So, yeah, why don't you start because you're nearer?
Answer that question. At this point, we do not have as I shared previously, they'll be hired for a specific time period. And Jeff and Jean and Peter and myself and Debbie, who are on the steering committee, did not draw up a contract or anything hourly at this point, per week, per month. But there is an amount that's a cap that will not, you know, that we will not go over, which is, you know, we didn't want to further delay getting a budget in front of you. As far as the LA committee, the LA committee, we have not reached out to members of CCB yet, because we do not know if the board is going to approve it. But Debbie and myself have been working with our community partners. In fact, our community partners have been approaching us, kind of saying, we haven't heard anything. Are you going to have one? We have money. We have resources, et cetera, et cetera. So we do not have a committee in Los Angeles at this time, except for our chair, vice chair, working with the state steering committee, preparing all of this for the board. And Judy, there was a third question. Do we have someone in mind? We do not have someone in mind at this time. We are putting together the duties, needing to be able to access all the social media tools, very robust. On the steering committee call, we got wonderful ideas from Jean and Jeff. There was a great brainstorming as far as where to reach out to gain people who are very well versed in all the tools that are out there, and marketing experience, promotional experience, coordination experience, programs that universities already have. So we are beginning to do that reach out. Also, to let you know, we don't have anyone in mind at this point. And I hope that answers. Okay, perfect.
I have a comment. Basically, for budgetary purpose, we kind of budgeted like $1,500 a month for 4 months. Or $6,000 for the whole period of time that we hired this person.
I just wanted to say we definitely, thanks to Jean and the help of others, we are not going to fly into this blind, so to speak. We definitely have some places to specifically target for people with the types of expertise we need. We want this to pass first, and then we can, you know, do an advertisement for it. But we need this to pass before we go any farther in the process. So I just wanted to assure you, Judy, that this is, we're going into this situation really knowing what we have to have, knowing where the suspects are, knowing where we've been weak and what we need to be stronger in the future. Okay, there's another question.
I was wondering, what was the results of last year's LA Mudstrat in terms of revenue and expenses?
I can't remember the exact, I know what the bottom line was. It was, I'm going to say 10,000, revenues less expenses, we netted $10,000.
Yeah, I'm coming.
Hi, folks. We also reported out at a previous phone board meeting, so I'm sure that's why Peter doesn't have those exact figures with him right now. It's a great question. On our LA First Giving page, we had over $23,000 on there before the bills. And we also paid out the share that that CCB committed to give to the partner that we were working with last year as well. So, and as Peter said, after bills, after paying out the partner, it was a little over $10,000.
Yeah, and in fact, we could make a profit on this event without hiring this person. But if we're ever going to really grow it into the size of an event that some of these entities have, that's where we have to reach out. And that's where this, you know, marketing promotion can, it can be a huge money raiser if it's worked right. So I think it's absolutely essential that we get the promotion done this year. Okay. Any other questions from the board or comments? And then if not, we'll turn it over to the public for input. Okay, I don't hear anybody. So I know there was it Keith or Mike? I forget. Somebody had a comment out there. We need to get the mic. Okay, man, Brooks and Ronnie are just running all over the place.
Hi, this is Steve Bauer. I just wanted to make a comment, actually. Last year, issue with a lot of us attending the...
Hold on, Steve. If people could be a little... I know it's lunchtime, we're eating and all that, but try to be a little bit quieter so we could hear the speaker.
One of the issues that a lot of us had with the date of last year's Mudstrut coincided with the Best in Tech Conference, which is held every year, and there's a couple hundred blind people from the LA area attending that. It's been held the weekend before Thanksgiving for the past 8 or 9 years, and so if in scheduling for 2016 we could avoid that date, I think that would allow a lot more of us to attend that weren't able to last year.
Okay, thank you for the input. Anyone else? You absolutely can, though.
Hello, it's Vita. I have a very important question. Who is Flower?
Oh. Okay. Just to let folks know, for scheduling the Mudstrut, and it would be awesome to have all of you out there who like attending Best in Tech, we heard a very loud outcry from the membership that please don't do it in September anymore. And November was a huge success. We had the largest turnout of CCB members at 2015. We had over 20 CCB members and a few non-members who were blind who came out to have a blast. We have a number of things that, you know, just to let everybody know, we have a number of things to take into account in scheduling the date. And one is, of course, park availability. If they're not available, then we can't have it. And the other thing is timing company availability as well. And if they're not available, we can't have it. So the date in November that they stated that they're both available is that mid-November date. I really hope that it does not conflict, because we'd love to have all of you out there, but it's quite narrow as far as the availability for November, and October is all booked up for both entities. You know, just kind of letting you know everything that we have to juggle a little bit as well. So I hope it doesn't conflict. Okay. So it will conflict this year, and my apologies ahead of time, but that was the only availability for Park and the timing company. And the timing company price is less this year because they've already mapped out the course for us at that park. So thank you. Jeff? Okay, Vita asked who Flower is. And so I'm going to give it over to a family member of Flowers so that they could tell you who it is.
Family member, eh? Yeah, I'm Flower's daddy. You didn't know that, did you? Flower is owned by Denise Cervera, who happens to be my stepdaughter. And Flower and Denise had the highest amount on the fundraising page. And so Flower is part German Shepherd and part Chow, I believe. She's a mixture. So she's very, very nice. She likes me. She doesn't growl when I'm around her. So, as do some people growl when I'm around them, but that's a different story. So that is who Flower is, and that's her picture on the page when it opens up, I was told.
Yeah, that'll be the team.
All right, who's ever got the green card, we're going to have Flower Power at the Mud Strut.
It'll be Team Flower Power.
Question? Steve Mendelson here. Oh, sorry, Gene.
Here it is, Gene.
They also, Donna and Debbie, if I understood correctly, too, is the because of what happened, was 2 years ago with the heat wave, that a lot of the running groups have found that it's better to have the runs in November down there in Los Angeles, and that's what you're also targeting, is to the larger community as a whole, to get the runners and walking groups there. So you have it's also narrowed by, so you're not competing with any other running or walking event at the same time. And is that correct?
I appreciate that. Yes, I forgot that.
Thank you.
Okay. So I heard a female in the audience first. I don't know who it was. No?
Steve.
Okay, go ahead, Steve. I heard you too. I just thought I heard a female first.
Two quick questions. One strategic and one technical. The technical question has to do with whether or not we have insurance for the event against the various kinds of risks that are all too foreseeable. If so, how much does it cost and what kind do we have?
Go ahead, Steve, with your second one first.
And my second question is a strategic question. I've never been able to fully understand why, in our outreach to the community, we have opted to go for running and walking clubs rather than dog clubs, for example.
Well, I'm sorry, walking clubs rather than what?
Dog clubs.
Okay, I'll respond, and then I'll let others, obviously, we always have insurance for an event like this. I don't think any of us would even consider not having it. There is too much potential liability. In terms of the clubs, we are trying to target any of them, walking clubs, dog clubs, running clubs. And the more, boots we have on the ground, like a person who can, devote, 15 hours a week or whatever it is, to actually making the phone calls, doing all of these things, having the personal contacts, the more we can devote to all of these different components. So there's, your point is well taken. And, okay, Donna? I think you have to use my mic.
From Tinkers to... Yeah, exactly. And in L.A., we actually did do some outreach, and we did have a puppy club, a dog club. I don't remember what they called themselves there. So, you know, we're doing it, and we had one last year, and hopefully we will have more. So we did have one last year in L.A. already. Thank you.
Hi, this is Debbie Cordero.
Co-chair.
Co-chair. Sorry, I was eating a cookie. I just two things really quick in regards to Flower, the top dog for 2016. Vince, correct me if I'm wrong, but I just so you guys, all of you have an idea. She brought in, I think, just over $1,000. Is that right,
just
Vince?
About. Yes, that's correct.
Yeah, just over $1,000. So thank you, Flower, and the family and all her supporters. That's the first thing. And second, the gentleman that mentioned the convention technology, and I apologize, I didn't have the title, for Best in Tech in November. What date did you say that was in November? So that's the 19th, I believe. So is it the entire weekend, Saturday and Sunday? Okay, just like the event. Now, I really appreciate that information. Like Donna shared, the timing company, they have several clients. I can take that information back to the timing company to see if there's a second date, because I think there was one maybe. And so, you know, there's no, I can't say here that we can change it. But the 19th was the best date for the timing company and the park. But the 5th, that's something I can look into. Wanted to share that. So thank you again.
And Debbie, thank you for that information, because I thought the timing company had said no to an extra date. So that would be cool if they said yes. So. And Jean, is there?
Because it sometimes comes up, and the reason why timing it, runs like this is the foundation for individuals. They need to get certified times when they've done, so then they can get into half marathons and full marathon. So there is a reason for why we're reaching out to running and groups. We're not exclusively going just for that segment of the population, but those individuals are drawn when there's a run that's taking place, that it's timed, and that it just meets their needs to get on into the bigger events there. So I just wanted to say that, too, here.
Okay. Mitch is next. Yep, you'll be after.
For folks such as Steve Bauer, who, you know, many of you make your livings by, you know, seeing what the latest and greatest technology is. But there is an alternative. In lieu of paying the registration, commit that same amount or more to one of us who will be there. You really can do two things at once. And Steve, I'd hope that you and the others who feel that's a priority will in fact consider going on the first giving site, finding one of us who will have a page up and sponsoring or supporting a team with the amount that you would otherwise have given as a participant. That way you can walk away and have a clear CCB conscience.
Oh, there we go. In fact, there's another alternative, and that is one, and the reason I mention it is it not only applies to someone like you, Steve, but it applies to someone like me and those of us from all over the state. We not only could donate, We could also be virtual walkers and virtual runners or virtual whatever we want to label ourselves and raise money. The fact that there's not going to be a Mutt-Strut next year in San Francisco or LA, or I mean Sacramento or San Francisco or Eureka or wherever, doesn't mean that the rest of us shouldn't be pitching in. If there is one event, we all need to support it. And next is Don, and then I think Peter had a... Okay, all right.
Donna, I'm going to steal the mic on the way to you. I walked virtually in London in the second Mutt-Strut because I wasn't, you know, able to be here. So I just walked around a park in London.
Yay.
So there you go.
Yay.
And Mitch said Steve will be walking on at the tech show. So So what I wanted to share, and I do apologize, a chapter actually who was not able to attend Mutt-Strut LA last year, they gave us a wonderful surprise either right before the event or right after the event of $100 in support because they weren't able to come. And that's why we set up a page that's specific to the region because, you know, some folks may struggle finding a specific person or whatever. And this chapter gave us an awesome surprise. And they sent in $100 in support because they were not able to be there. And that was very special. So that's something folks can do too. So thank you, Orange County chapter.
Just so everybody knows, in the proposed 2016 budget, we have $800 for insurance.
Hearing none, any last board input before we take a vote?
Oh, yeah. That's right, because we said it the other day.
Yes, just so that those of you who, you know, were not here, and as a reminder to those of you who are on the board or were on that call, we have made a condition that if we don't have somebody essentially in place for the, person who's going to be hired for the four-month period beginning in July, if we don't have that person in place by May 15th, then we will cancel the Mutt-Strut event because we want to make sure that the event, you know, happens in a manner that isn't going to, the number one is going to be profitable, the number two isn't going to burn out the organizers of this event, and believe me, it can do that. And so we need the support of this person to put in this time to promote the event, and we're using May 15th as a cutoff date so that we don't have to incur a lot of extra expense, so that we don't, you know, put in a whole lot of extra hours, and because it's just reasonable to the entire community, both our members and those in the LA community, that this event be canceled in a timely manner. So, yes, Debbie wants to add a point.
Just real quick, 30 seconds.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Just
even
to add,
35 if it's...
Just to add to what Jeff just shared regarding this individual, whoever it is, we will be running a background check on this individual. And they have to pass it. So it's not just going to be anyone. They may have all the qualifications, but if they do not pass that background check, they're out. That's what I wanted to share.
All right.
Sorry.
Thank you. Okay. Any last board input? Hearing none, there has been a call for the question. All those in favor of approving having the Mutt-Strut and the budget that was submitted for that event, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no. Abstentions? Okay, it is unanimous. So, our Mutt-Strut is on. So, Peter, you will put the bottom line figures into the amended, right, and obviously changing
the you know revenue expense figure, the bottom line figure. So we will now, and Vince, maybe you want to give some introductory remarks, and I don't know how you you know, Peter, want to play it. Vince is the chair of the Budget and Finance Committee, and he keeps us all in line and beats us up occasionally and, you know, does those things that need to be done. I don't know how he ever got a dog named Flower when he's such a, you know, mean guy when he's the chair of the Budget Committee. But anyway, and Peter, obviously, is the treasurer. So, Vince, I'll have you go first. You got a mic down there?
I have a mic.
Okay.
I listened to every word you said. Okay, this past, I believe it was January, the Budget Committee met. Most of us met in Sacramento. One of us was not able to get there because he got to the airport late. I won't mention any names. And they wouldn't let him on. So the Budget Committee consisted of, if I can remember correctly, Rex Ransom, Kevin Berkery, Jeff Tom, Charles Nabardet, and Charlie Doris, and I can't forget you. Donna Pomerantz, President Jeff Tom, and our newest member was Judy Wilkinson. It was her first Budget Committee, and she behaved herself quite nicely. I wouldn't know. She made it to the meeting at least. So, and as stated, this was my last Budget Committee as chair. Since as of June 30th, I will be off all these committees. So it's time to take a break. So we met. We came up with a budget. It was contingent on a few things. Peter will probably give you most of those other details and some of the revised numbers we can have now based on the information on Mutstrut and their revenue and expenses. It seems like the deficit will be reduced based on the proposed revenue we hope to make on Mutstrut. So that is kind of the background. There is a couple of other issues that Peter will bring up that are still up in the air. So I will turn it over to Peter for some of the more detailed numbers. And once again, thank you very much for letting me serve as your Budget Committee Chair for the last 4 years.
Thank you. So I'll go ahead and read the 2016 proposed budget. The order in which I'll give the expense item. The 2016 proposed budget, the next item is the 2015 budget, our actual expenditure, actual revenue and our expenses, and the variance between our actuals and the budget. San Diego special events. The proposed budget is $4,000.
Oh. Do you want people to ask you questions during the presentation or not until the end? Which would you...
Probably better to do it during.
During, okay. Thank you.
Sorry. Thank you, Jeff. San Diego special events, $4,000. Proposed budget. FY15 budget, $8,500. Actuals, $3,931. The variance, -$4,569. New vehicle donation processing center. This is a new item. So the proposed 2016 budget is $3,000.
I would offer a correction there that the name of the new of our new partner is the car donation center.
If that's a new one, Peter, he's correct.
The our current vehicle donation processing center. The proposed budget for 2016 is $8,500. We received, the 2015 budget was $7,000. We actually received $8,529, leaving a variance of $1,529.
Is this the center that is currently under suspension by the Secretary of State? And let me know what the implication of that is. Okay, Jeff.
Yeah, the answer is yes to your first question. We've just been given some reports to sign, and Peter has to look at them. They just came in this week, and that's why. And I don't want him to sign them until he has looked at them carefully. And once these reports are filed, I believe they'll be able to do business again. So I am hoping that this will be a short-term problem. I will report to the board if this continues.
Okay, moving on. Affiliated chapter dues, proposed budget, $3,800. 2015 budget, $3,500. We actually received $3,875, leaving a variance of $375. Members at large, the proposed budget is $200. FY15 budget, $200. We got the actuals were $200, so the variance is zero. Life member dues, the proposed is $400. The FY15 budget was $400. We didn't get any this year, so the variance is negative $400. Conventions?
Yes.
On the life membership dues, is $400 a typical, a reasonable number in terms of what we would normally expect in a year? I'm just wondering if that's the case, or if this is just a placeholder,
we kind of plugged in getting two new life members. I think it's reasonable.
Yeah, we have frequently gotten $400.
Conventions, proposed budget $18,000. FY15 budget was $18,000. Revenue for the in 2015 was $19,540. The variance is $1,540. Bequests. This year's budget is $7,000. Last year's budget was $11,000. Last year we received $15,905, excuse me, leaving a variance of $4,905.
Okay, I noticed that the budgeted figure is quite different than either the budgeted or actual figure for last year, whereas in most other cases the budgeted figure seems to be relatively close to either the actual or the projected from last year, depending on which appears more realistic. So in the case of this $7,000 budget, is that, again, sort of a placeholder because that's typically what we can expect in a year, or is there some reason that we're expecting only half as much bequest revenues as normal, which is, I guess, is a good thing because that means that half as many people would be dying. But
this is really this was kind of a plug figure.
I believe, and Vince, correct me if I'm wrong, which would be very usual in my case, but I think we took an average.
Oh, that's right, we did.
Thank you. So I got all these committee members down here. Okay, moving along. Yes, we did. We looked at the average over, I forget whether it was 10 years. Yeah, and we took that average. And that is, I would tell you, what nonprofits do is take sort of a long-term average to come up with the figure, because it is a crapshoot in a way as to what you'll get.
Next, contributions Ellen Murphy Fund. Budgeted amount was $3,000. The FY15 budget was $3,000. We actually received $4,000. The variance is $1,000. OCB student assistance.
Is this again a this budgeted item? Is this again a rolling average, like the previous one?
No, because we, for like last 4 or 5 years, we received $3,000.
Okay.
OCB Student Assistance Fund. We budgeted zero. FY15 budget was $6,258. We actually received $6,258. Leaving a variance of zero. This was a one-time, due to the the dissolution of the OCB Alumni Association. We were, a while back, we were given this money and we just turned it over to CCB. Contributions, budgeted $3,500. FY15 budget, $5,000. We received $3,623, leaving a difference of a negative $1,377. Scholarships, budgeted $3,000. FY15 budget, $2,000. Actuals, $3,550. Variance, $1,550. It was a typo. $1,550. A zero was missing. Advertising, we budgeted zero. We, in 2015, we budgeted $5,000. We actually received $2,500, leaving a variance of a negative $2,500. Crisis Assistance Fund, budget in 2016, $100. 2015, $200. We didn't receive any, so the variance is $200. Active Blind Incorporated, this 2016 budget is $10,000. 2015 budget, $10,000. We received $10,000. The variance is zero. Miscellaneous, we budgeted $1,175. In 2015, we budgeted $1,000. We received $1,403, leaving a difference of $403.
Again, this one, the $1,175, is this another rolling average like some of the others on the budgeted amount? Because it's less than what we took in, more than what we budgeted from 2015, but it's kind of it's not a round number. It's sort of like, $1,175 rather than $1,200 or $1,500 or something. So,
if I remember correctly, I think we did do a rolling average on this one too. MMS contributions, $4,000 budgeted for 2016. Budgeted for 2015 is $4,500. The actuals were $4,360, leaving a variance of a negative $140. Fundraising, Mudstrut. This will be a plugged-in figure based on our previous action this afternoon. So we got to put $30,200 in for budgeted.
Yeah.
Last year we budgeted $56,600. The actuals were $35,435, leaving a variance of a negative $21,165. Legal settlements, $20,000. We budgeted in 2016. 2015 budget was $10,000. We didn't receive anything last year. The variance is a negative $10,000.
Mr. President, due to a fortuitous error, I had to announce myself to make my statement. Due to a fortuitous error on the president's part, I've underestimated our legal settlements based on money we've already taken in. And so by $10,000 at least. So I would request that we raise it by $7,500 just in case we don't fully get everything else that we think we will get. But it's going to be actually we're going to get at least $8,500. So I would say just as a minimum go to $28,500.
$500, Jeff, you want me to?
Yeah, plug it in.
I have a question, but I think that there's a motion on the floor, and I should let you take care of that first. Okay, my question was about that the base figure of the $20,000. Was that another average, or do we know of other settlements besides the $8,500 that are in the pipeline?
Oh, and let me, Frank, just. As of today, we received $21,000 already. From January 1st, 2016 to March 31st, 2016, we received $21,000 in legal settlements already.
Oh, yeah. So I don't. Let's vote on this amendment to the budget, this budget line. All those in favor of amending that figure, say aye. Opposed? Actually, I didn't call for discussion. Was there any further discussion first? I don't see why. Okay. Oh, we'll vote again. I didn't hear any discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Yeah, there you go. Abstentions. All right.
The next item is interest. The budgeted amount is $6,000. For 2016, we budgeted $7,500. We received $6,704. The variance is a negative $796. Next item, CEA loan repayment from borrowers. This year's proposed budget is $2,600. Last year's was $1,000. We received $1,000, so there's a variance of zero. Fundraising.
Oh.
Okay. Is this $2,600 based on actual commitments from people to pay us, or is this an average or a projection because it's quite different from last year?
Actual commitments. We have two notes outstanding. Fundraising sweepstakes. The budget is $3,000. Oh, we might want to, since this is folded into the Mudstrup budget, we need to delete this item. Because when we put this budget together in January, we really weren't sure if we were going to have a Mudstrup, but we knew we were planning to have a sweepstakes drawing anyway. And then there was an item that we didn't, a revenue item that we didn't budget for, and I don't know what the pleasure of the board is. It would be the executive some funds for us to hire an executive director from the No Perry Endowment Fund. And I may have mistakenly not put a figure in, but I don't remember. But we did the expense side. We didn't do the revenue side. Again, I could have made a mistake, Judy. I just don't remember.
Yes,
it is. It's a revenue.
Which is about...
Judy, we have an expense item, but in my records, I do not show a revenue item for Noel Perry. Can I round it up to $16,700 just for...
Yeah.
And basically, I need to do some math here. Because the proposed revenue that's in your report that doesn't include these additional items was $98,275. So in addition to that, I need to add $16,700, but I got to reduce that by, have a reduction
of three. You're adding two figures. You're adding the 8,500 and you're adding the...
Yeah, I got to add 18. No, I got to add Mudstrud of 30,200. Plus the 8,005, plus the 16,007, less the 3,000.
Yep.
Folks, I got an additional $41,400 because we got to add the Mudstrut budget of $30,200, $8,500 for the legal settlement. Less $3,000 plus $16,700. No, it was $41,000.
Okay, thank you.
So that it'd be $100,000.
Well, Peter is, you know, finishing his edition. I just want to, and I'm going to say it again during the convention, but I want to recognize, you know, we all know that Ed couldn't be here, and that always, you know, throws some monkey wrenches into it. And I wanted to recognize really a lot of people, but since they're here right now, I wanted to recognize Brooks and Ronnie for everything they did, driving the van, stepping up, doing all these. These guys have really saved our bacon in many ways, so... Yes, they flew up Tuesday to Sacramento from here. They use hang gliders, by the way. They didn't use an airplane. And then they drove the van down yesterday and all the way here. They're going to drive the van back home on Sunday, back to Sacramento, I should say, and fly back and then go back to work. So this is really, you know, beyond the call of duty. So you'll hear it again tomorrow. But
well, I was just going to say thank you, guys. And me and Brooks enjoy coming to these and hanging out with all of you. Thank you.
I have a figure here, folks.
Okay,
thank you
go
for
ahead,
your
Peter.
Patience. It's $149,675.
Okay, very good.
So let's move on to expenses. Staff support, admin, $33,500 proposed. Last year's budget was $45,500. We actually expended $43,983, leaving a variance of $1,517.
Now, just to explain that before Frank asks his question, in case you don't, maybe as I'll answer it. This is for the period of time that the current admin position will be working. This doesn't include the executive director position amount. Did that answer your question?
Yeah. Medical insurance admin. The FY16 budget is $1,900. The last year's budget was $1,300. We actually expended $2,532, leaving a variance of $1,232. Then I have staff support temp with zero budgeted right now. And then here we go, staff support, executive director. We budgeted for FY16 $22,000. There was no budget for 2015 and no expenses for 2015. Medical insurance for the executive director, $3,000. Again, there were no expenses incurred in 2015.
That's
no, that's the, and I, well, I guess I'll put my neck out here. I think we need to put some money in for temporary staff support.
Oh.
Executive, that's the, and I guess I made a mistake. For the executive director.
Okay, let me, before you do, and I'll let Vince say a word here. Before you do, the budget, what happened in the budget committee is that there was a sentiment expressed that maybe we needed some temp time to help an executive director because it's going to be a difficult position. There was a discussion, and it was viewed that if there was money to do this, we would think about it in a few months and maybe amend the budget. But that right now, because of the budget line as it is, we couldn't really make that kind of a decision. And that's why the budget committee put that budget line as a zero and they could so that they could revisit it. Vince, is that your recollection? Okay, thank you.
Okay, moving on to staff support executive director. I'm going to reread this again. I have a 2016 budget of $22,000. Moving on, medical insurance. Executive director, $3,000. Miscellaneous expenses.
Okay, now as I'm looking at these staff figures here, I can see that they're being prorated depending on the proportion of the year that we're dealing with here. So why is the insurance figure here so high when it's essentially only a third of the year compared with the insurance figure that we had above, which was two-thirds of the year?
Well, I can, basically our current admin assistant is over 62, so he really gets good rates with Medicare. And we have a tremendous savings. And we really couldn't factor that in when we hire an executive director.
Even so, notice that in 2015, the cost for the medical insurance for the admin was higher than we'd budgeted. We budgeted $1,300, and it was actually $2,532. So even at his lower rate, the amount went up in 2015.
Okay, I'm going to move on to miscellaneous expenses. Budgeted $1,200. In 2015, we budgeted $1,200. We expended $1,195, a variance of $5. Payroll tax expense, admin. We budgeted $3,000 in 2015. We budgeted $3,900. The actual expenses were $3,799, leaving a variance of $101. Payroll tax expense, executive director, $2,000. Accounting services, $9,000, budgeted for 2016. 2015 budget was $9,000. The actuals were $8,709, leaving a variance of $292. This year, the audit expense, audit fees, $16,000. Last year we budgeted $9,500. We spent zero last year. This year, so leaving a variance of $9,500.
Would I be incorrect in interpreting this figure that we had? That we didn't have some auditing activity in this past year that we are anticipating. So as a result of that, we're essentially going to have to do 2 years of audits this year. Is that why the figures are like this?
We had the audit, but we didn't pay for it until this year. It was late.
So why is it, say, 16,000 rather than, say, 19,000, which would be 9,500 doubled?
Because we're trying to see if we can reduce our audit expense, and we really think we can.
So we're hoping that second piece will come in around 7,000. Then is what we're
looking at. Hoping to.
Okay.
Travel and transportation. This year we budgeted $1,000. Last year we budgeted $2,500. Our actual expenses were $1,253. The variance was $1,247. Telephone, $5,400. Last year we budgeted $5,100. Our actual expenses for last year were $5,363, leaving a variance of a negative $263. Vehicle insurance. This year we budgeted $1,450. Last year we budgeted $1,350. Our actual expenses were $1,413, leaving a variance of a negative $63. Membership development. We budgeted $100 this year. Last year we also budgeted $100. We had zero expenses, leaving a variance of $100. Rent. This year we budgeted $32,000 for rent. Last year's budget was $31,000. Our actual expenses were $31,406, leaving a variance of $406. Office insurance, $500. We budgeted this year. Last year we also budgeted $500. We expended $500, leaving a variance of zero. Workers' comp, $650. We budgeted for this year. We also budgeted $650. We actually expended $632, leaving a variance of $18. Bond insurance, $170 budgeted this year, $170 budgeted last year. We expended $170, leaving a variance of zero. Board of Directors insurance, we budgeted $3,300 this year. Last year's budget was $3,600. We estimated, our actual expenses were $3,252, leaving a variance of $348. Printing, we budgeted $100 for this year. We budgeted $100 for last year. We expended zero. The variance is $100. Printing BC, we budgeted $9,300 for this year. Last year's budget was $9,000. The actual expenses were $9,117, a variance of $117. No, because we expended more than we budgeted. It's the difference between the expense, the budget expense, less the actual. It's the difference between the actuals minus the budget. Because our actuals were $117 more. Not for expenses, Judy. No, it is.
As I understand the expense figures here, when an expense is in our favor, that is that when the actual is less than the budgeted, it's a positive number, and when the actual is greater than the budgeted, as is the case here, it's a negative number.
It should be a positive number because we budgeted less. Because, for example, for rent, let's go back to rent. Our 2015 budget was $31,000, but we expended. Oh shoot. Oh, let me look into I think I may have forgotten a minus sign.
Yeah.
It's.
I think you should have a minus to be the appropriate thing. Not that it really matters.
I think I basically forgot that minus sign, but I'll double check it. Moving on. License fees and property taxes, we budgeted for this year $450. Last year we budgeted $500. Our actual expense was $445, leaving a difference of $55. Office supplies, we budgeted $1,000 for FY16. We budget for FY15 $1,000. We expended $1,600. The difference is a negative $600. Postage and shipping, we budgeted for FY16 $450. For FY15, we budgeted $500. We expended $416, leaving a difference of $84. Equipment rental, $1,850 budgeted for this year. Last year we budgeted $1,800. We expended $1,815. The variance is a negative $15. Service contracts, this year we budgeted $1,000. Last year we budgeted $2,500. We expended $15,062. The variance is $937. Repairs and maintenance, budgeted this year $1,000. Last year $1,000. We expended $1,258. The difference is $258. Web development, webmaster. We budgeted $1,500. Last year we budgeted $2,000. We expended $750, leaving a variance of $1,250. Board of directors, $500 budgeted for this year. Last year, $500 budgeted. We expended $396, difference of $104. Committee expenses, $1,000 budgeted this year. Last year, budgeted $1,000. We spent $991, a variance of $9. Dues to organization, $3,125 budgeted for this year. Last year, budgeted $3,125. We expended $3,125. The variance is zero. Conferences and seminars, $1,500 budgeted for this year. Last year, budgeted $1,500. We expended $1,989, leaving a variance of a negative $489. Sales tax expense, $175, budgeted this year. Last year, budget $175. We expended $164, leaving a variance of $11. Scholarships, CCB General, budgeted this year $5,000, budgeted last year $6,000. Our actual expenses were $4,125. The variance was $1,875. Scholarships, active blind. I got budgeted $10,000 this year. Last year we budgeted $10,000. There's a typo that I made, leaving a difference of our actual expenses were $10,750, leaving a difference of $750. Grants to individuals, Ellen Murphy Fund. We budgeted this year $15,000. Last year we budgeted $15,000. Our actual expenses were $15,868. The variance is $868. The Crisis Committee, grants to individuals. This year we budgeted $1,000. Last year we budgeted $400. Last year we expended $1,630. Leaving a variance of -$1,230. Conventions. This year we budgeted $22,000. Last year we budgeted $18,000. Our actual expenses was $27,757, leaving a variance of -$9,757.
Okay, so our actual convention expenses last year were $27,000 and change, and this year we're projecting $22,000. So where are we saving? Expecting to save $5,000.
I think we
I think we were hoping to save some, but given, you know, a lot of factors, including the fact that we've had to, you know, incur some extra expenses due to the situation, you know, with our, you know, admin position, I think it's probably a good idea to put
a fair idea to make the budget a little more reasonable to put, what do you think, Gene, $2,000 or $3,000 back? What would you, or Peter, or whatever, three. Gene?
I would go more than that.
Okay, so
I would suggest, I would say 27,000. I would say 5,000. Increase it by 5,000.
Okay, so Gene's going to move that we increase it to 25. Do we have a second to that? We have a second. Discussion.
I think it's going to be more. I think it's going to be closer to 27.
Okay. Gene, do you want to?
I will take that as a friendly amendment.
All right. Does the seconder? Okay. So it's up to 27. All those in favor? I'm sorry. Discussion. Hearing none. All those in favor of the amendment to increase this figure, this expense figure, from 22 to 27, say aye. All opposed. Okay. It is passed. All right.
Okay, the next item is Mutt Strut expenses, and I gotta look better. No, I just needed to look. I inadvertently forgot to print out the Mutt Strut budget, so I had to pull up an old email. Thank God for Wi-Fi in the meeting room. So the total expenses this year for the Mutt Strut is going to be $16,950.
I'm sorry, Judy, were you trying to say something, or were you just...
The Mutt Strut item answers the question you asked earlier, Charles, that last year we budgeted $35,500. We spent $21,395, so the profit last year was $14,105.
That didn't include the share that we had to pay.
Right, that's fine.
I think it really was around 10,000.
Okay. Thank you. Moving along.
Okay. So, again, this next item needs to be removed. It's Mutt Strut. Fundraising sweepstakes expense for $1,000.
So because that's gone.
It's included in the Mutt Strut budget. The CEA loan repayment, we budgeted zero because last year we budgeted $4,000. The actual expenses was zero, so the variance is $4,000. Total expenses is $212,620. The actual expenses was $228,979. The actual budgeted for last year was $228,979. Our actual expenses was $209,358, leaving a variance of $19,961. And I need to revise our total expenses because I've got to add in the additional $5,000
for the executive, I mean, for the convention, plus the much dread expenses of $16,950 less the sweepstakes expense of $1,000. The new proposed expense budget is $214,715. Yeah. Because I added $212,620 plus $20,950 equals, oh shoot, I made a typo. So basically, again, the corrected expense total is $212,620 plus $20,950. Correct me if I'm mistaken. So basically, our, just to recap, our proposed budgeted revenues is $149,675, and our proposed expenses.
Sorry about that.
Sorry, Jeff.
Okay, go ahead.
Our proposed expenses is $233,570. So we have a difference of $83,895. Basically, we're expending $83,895 more than our proposed revenues.
Now we're hoping to do better, but that's the budget that's before you, Vince. It's. You want to make some comments? Hold on. You need a mic.
At the beginning, I neglected to mention that Peter Partini was also on the budget committee. So that was my grave oversight. So, and this is a framework. This is an outline. Hopefully things, you know, we will hope for more revenue as you come along and hope that the expenses are not as much as we project they will be, or even more. So we've improved, we've narrowed the previous deficit from 114 down to 82, say, and that's another, you know, 20 grand. Little by little, no, 30 grand almost. So that's, you know, little by little, it is. It's a tough road. Once you get down in a hole, it's very hard to dig yourself out, but it can be done. So I commend the Budget Committee for the hard work and some of the discussions that were had there. So once again, this is the budget.
Okay, our artist wants to make a motion.
I'll make a motion that we accept the budget as now presented.
So there's a motion and a second. First will be board discussion. Yes.
I would like to, sorry, I would propose a friendly amendment that the board have this revised budget in hand by May 1st. In other words, every year we say, you know, we'd like to see a copy of this corrected budget. And this year I'd really like to see that corrected budget.
Okay, a couple of the items in the budget were predicated on a decision made by May 15th. So to have a budget in hand, a revised budget by May 1st, is unrealistic, given the fact it could be down to the wire to find this person that the committee is looking for. Well, I'm just saying, as far as May 1st, I would maybe suggesting either June 1st or June 30th or something, give a little extra time to make sure some of these things are hashed out.
But I can't, I mean, this is Peter. I mean, I can't put these figures in and get them out by May 1st. I mean, it's not,
okay,
just
so,
to provide some additional time for people to review the budget. It's so not a big deal.
Okay, an amendment, an artist hasn't, and the seconder haven't said whether they consider it friendly or not, so I don't know that yet, have in this motion that the budget be disseminated to the board by May 15th. Do you consider that? Hold on. Okay. Okay. All right. By June 1st. Is that acceptable to artists? Artist accepts it. Who's the seconder? I don't even remember. Of the motion, of Artist's motion. Was it you, Judy? Okay, who seconded the motion on the budget? Joe. Okay. Is that amendment acceptable to you? The amendment Judy proposed? Yes or no? Oh, sorry. I didn't hear you. Okay. So the amendment is now part of the motion. Any discussion on the budget? Hearing none, do we have any public comment on the budget? Okay, hearing none. Oh, I'm sorry, we do.
Let me get a mic here.
Oh, sorry.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Vita. At a future board meeting, will we be able to hear exactly what expenses were incurred at the convention? I would really like to see a breakdown of the meals and the subsidizing rooms and so forth.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, here, I got a Peter, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't see a problem with that, Vita. I'll put it together for the board and provide a detailed breakdown of what our expenses were and what our revenues were for this convention.
Okay, thank you.
Another comment, Tom.
Okay.
Jeff, yeah.
Whatever is right. That's anyway.
Hello. Is another comment open? I am Mike Keithley. I have a feeling this, we have open board meetings, and I think that is a good time to really run down income and expenses for the convention. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments? Okay, hearing none. Oh, we have one more? I'm sorry? No. Okay. Well, I will, but after we vote. Okay, any last board input on the budget? Hearing none. All those in favor of the budget as presented, along with the part of the motion that requires it to be disseminated no later than June 1st, say aye. All opposed? Abstentions? Okay. I, too, want to thank the entire budget committee, and especially Peter and really Vince for his outstanding service as chair of that committee for a number of years. Absolutely. So that's excellent. I do have an announcement. The hotel has asked me to announced that at 3:30 today and again at 3:30 tomorrow, across the street there will be fireworks and helicopters. I guess they'll be practicing for some event, and we wanted to make sure that there were no, especially, it could be any of us, but especially the dogs might be a little scared of that, so beware at the hour of 3:30 as it comes upon us. Okay, we now go to San Gabriel Valley chapter roster disclosure. I'm going to make a few preliminary comments before opening it for discussion. I want to comment on two things. Number one, the nature of the violation, and number two, the board's authority. The violation I'm going to discuss sort of in two parts. We really have a serious concern about keeping roster information unavailable for dissemination to the public or even within the organization where it isn't necessary to do so. Identity theft, things like that, using names and addresses is just something we really are concerned about at all levels of this organization. So the email that was sent out by Charles about a week ago, did disclose San Gabriel Valley roster information, and it was certainly a problem for those chapter members, and it's really a problem for the organization as a whole. Now, the specific board policy that was violated in terms of our confidentiality policy was one that precludes information from being disseminated except within the organization. I think that policy should be tighter, but it was still a violation even of that policy because the CCBL list to which it was disseminated is a public list, and so people beyond our membership received that organization. There was an apology expressed, saying that, not realizing, as I think probably a lot of members don't, that that list was more than just, CCB members, and, talking about the potential reason for that particular dissemination. However, there was another element of the violation, and that violation was the chapter policy, which precluded dissemination outside the chapter. And of course, the chapter, many members are very, frustrated about that element of the violation. Okay, so that's what I wanted to say at this point on that, before we throw it open. But the second point I want to address is the board's authority on this matter, if it chooses to exercise it, and the board's lack of authority. And I did this after consulting with our constitutional and bylaws chair. excuse me. The board has no authority in terms of suspension of a member or in terms of removal of a member from the board, even. So that is not something that can be discussed in terms of specific authority of the board to do so. The board, in fact, the Constitution does not specifically mention any board authority in terms of what the board can do for violations of policies by a member or by a board member. The question was raised to our constitutional bylaws chair, who said that it was his view that although the Constitution is silent, there's nothing that would preclude the board from making a motion of censure, which basically says, you know, which basically recognizes the wrongdoing of the individual in question. So with that, I'll throw it open to the board for the beginning of discussion, and then there can be public comment as well. All right, who would like the floor?
I make a motion that this board censure Mr. Navarrete for his breach of our privacy rules.
I'll second it.
There's a motion and a second. So, Frank, do you want to, as the maker of the motion, speak on its behalf?
In making this motion, I simply think that it is appropriate for us to go on record by this motion to declare that a mistake was made and that we wanted to recognize that happened and that we did not approve of that. I do not believe anything further needs to be done regarding this matter beyond this censure vote.
Else wish to speak? Okay. And members of the public. Whoa, 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 whoa. I know. I just have to decide who gets the floor first. I think Pam was first, and I think Mitch was third, but I heard someone second. Okay.
Mr. President, members of the board, and members of the public. You know, I have to say I'm extremely disappointed, and my chapter members are extremely incensed of what has gone on the basis that an apology has been issued. Was it? I looked up the word apology in the dictionary, and it says to express remorse and to make restitution. Now, all I heard was, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know I was wrong. I thought it was a closed list. It didn't address anything about our chapter. And besides, he already knew it was not a closed list because in 2015, the same thing happened where something was issued about East LA and there was a great divide that's still there. And I'm just saying that I am very incensed, and so is my chapter.
Okay, Charlene is next.
I just wanted you to be able to point out what sanction means, because that can be a real big range of from to.
Okay. Mitch is next.
Who was next? Oh, Mitch. I want to take this out of the personal and put it in the context of this organization. And I'll also put it in the context of our parent organization, American Council of the Blind. It is rare that we find breaches by members of policies and procedures, but it does happen, and this isn't the first time. There is no point, however, in having policies and procedures without including in the Constitution and bylaws sanctions for breaches of those policies and procedures. We are looking at that for the national organization, and I believe that we need to look at what are the penalties or what are the proposed penalties and the procedures for imposing those penalties should a future breach occur. And there's been quite a bit of back and forth over the last week about that. The reality is that because of the emotion, because of the personalities involved, it is never good to draft proposals in the heat of that emotion. What I hope will happen, and I hope the board will consider and the Constitution and Bylaws Committee will consider, is that between now and the next convention in 2017, that committee will bring forward proposed actions to include in the Constitution and bylaws for breaches of established policies, not only by board members, but ladies and gentlemen, by the members as a whole. And if I may have another 30 seconds, Mr. President.
Certainly.
Our organizations, the state and national organizations, were founded in reaction to an undemocratic, despotic National Federation of the Blind. When something is done in reaction to something else, we frequently go from one extreme to the other. The NFB is too facile to sanction and throw out members. I know. I've been there. But that doesn't mean that we want to go to the other extreme and countenance breaches of policy by members, by board members, by anyone affiliated with our organization. So
thank
I
you.
Believe we oh, need to take a careful, considered look and draft policies and procedures for the Constitution and bylaws that will permit us when and if similar actions to what we've just witnessed occur again. And then bring it back to the membership at next year's convention for our considered action. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other member of the public? I think I hear a yes. A male? Am I right?
This is Mike Keithley. I'm just curious, is this difficulty here, is it understood that it was an accident or it sort of happened on purpose but the fellow didn't know what he was doing, something like that?
Mike, that's a question, but... Okay, are there any members of the public that additionally that want to speak? Okay, Christy.
Hello. As a part of who we are all from different walks of lives. Those of us who work in professions where we are not comfortable with our names and addresses going out to the public. You know, once this kind of thing is done, it's very damaging. It could be life-threatening. When people send things out, there either needs to be a list moderator to check that. But I'm really concerned because Mr. Navarrete has been an administrative law judge, and he's well aware of confidentiality and other laws. So I'm in agreement that I would be very incensed if my information went out over a public list. Thank you.
Any other members of the public? Yes, Ken. I think it's Ken.
There we go. I just wanted to say that, and I'm not going to go into that. You guys are going to deal with other things later. But I just want to say that considering the board meeting that was held at the last convention, it was specifically mentioned at that time and several times prior that CCB was not giving out, because this was the reason for some other procedures that have occurred or may occur and will occur, you know, all those things together. It was mentioned specifically that we are only CCB will contact a person that another member is trying to find and ask them to contact that member instead of giving out any information such as phone number, address, or anything of that sort. This has been part of the contention of what's happening with the issues with AMC. And so it's not something that is that hasn't been mentioned numerous times, that this information is only in the CCB office and needs to stay there unless it has complete opportunity for the individual to okay his or her name being given to another person.
Okay. Any other individuals who have not yet spoken? Linda, okay.
This may have already been done, and it's like, a retro measure, but has that post already been removed from the list so that anyone can no longer have further access to it?
No, I don't. Not sure how we could do that, but I can certainly
Avita
discuss
can answer
that, with
that.
Yes, I believe it is archived, so yes, we can remove it.
We'll certainly, if there's certainly anything we can do, we'll look into doing it. Thank you. Any other members of the public wish to speak? Hearing none, it's back. I'm sorry? Yes, it's back to the board. Are there board? Pam, okay. And then Jean. And then Donna. And then Charles.
Oh, this is going to be hard. So I hope you guys can hear me. This is not, as far as I'm concerned, this is not only a violation of confidentiality, this is a violation of the board's trust and the membership's trust. How are we supposed to trust that this won't happen again? And that's one of the most important things about this. It's not only the confidentiality, it is the trust.
Okay. Next is, who did I say was next? Jean? Yeah, I think so.
Without repeating everything Mitch said, we have been, as Mitch said, there's been some of us working with Gabe on 10.11 in response, but of course, whatever, if we had gone ahead, nothing retroactively could apply. The thing is, it's been agreed upon that the Constitution Bylaws Committee and the president will convene a group to work on 10.11 and other relevant sections of the Constitution and bylaws to address this and come up with some actual grounds, because as it was said, there is nothing that clearly states what are the grounds for removal or suspension. And you can't do anything like that unless you have something specifically. Also, as it became very apparent, and this is just information, is we do have policy board policies, but when you really look at them, they turn out to be more of agreement than a policy because there is nothing about enforcement of it, violation. So it's a very, very complex thing, as Mitch correctly said, that we cannot just change these things very quickly. We need to look at the whole ramifications. And after this motion is addressed, then I have we'll have another motion related to this. Thank you.
Okay. Pass to Donna.
Good afternoon. How ironic that this will be the last convention board meeting that I will be up here at this table with my fellow board members. I think that we as an organization need to think about the act that has taken place. The act that has taken place has been that a board member of the California Council of the Blind has knowingly, intentionally posted 58 members' names, addresses, telephone numbers, emails, birthdays on a public listserv. Now, this organization will probably, as quickly as possible, because the request has been made to take it out of the archives, and I know they will do it. We have no idea who has already seen it, who has downloaded it, who has forwarded it, where that document that was sent out by a CCB board member has gone. You have heard today that the CCB board of directors, and correctly so, is not able to do anything because of the policies that, and I have every faith and belief they will be worked on and tightened up so that there will be enforcement capabilities. Folks, this is about an act that has taken place by a board member of the California Council of the Blind. This is not about a person. We as an organization, the Constitution says the membership is the supreme authority. That is something that I would hope each and every member in this room will think about while we are assembled in convention. Because the membership does have the power to do what it wills to do during this convention assembled. What message do we want to send? Is it okay that this took place? Is it okay? I say no. I thank you for hearing me. Thank you.
We need the mic. I've listened very carefully to the comments that have been made, and I take those comments seriously. And I acknowledge that I have the responsibility for having done what I did. I did not intend to say that I was not sorry for what I did in my message to the San Gabriel Valley chapter. I said I was sorry, but I did want to explain why I did it. And in explaining that, I did acknowledge at the end that I made a mistake. And by that, I meant that I thought, and wrongly, I guess, that the CCDB list was a closed list. You have to be screened in to that list. Technologically, you know, I'm not one who knows a lot about technology. I know what I do. I know how to do it. But as far as what the whether a list is can be accessed by outside people, I frankly did not know that. And so I thought I was disseminating some information to the organization which was relevant to the question of whether AMC's roster should be removed, charter should be removed. So, you know, and by saying that, I don't mean to lessen what happened and the concerns of everyone here. And I think that, you know, my background in this organization tends to show that. I joined in 1983. I've been a member since then. In the 90s, I served on the board, served as first vice president, served as a CCB representative to BAC from the mid-90s to 2010. And also, you know, served on just the governmental affairs, resolution, and budget committees. And I think that, you know, all that service, plus being involved as chair of the Blindness Support Organization Board of Directors and president of the American Association of Visually Impaired Attorneys, as well as being on the resolution committee for ACB, demonstrates that I have a love for this organization. And I would not do anything knowingly or intentionally to harm it. So, the board has in its hands whether or not to reprimand me. And I think that in doing that, making that decision, they should put aside any personal feelings. I know that some board members harbor ill will towards me. And that's been demonstrated at San Gabriel Valley meetings. So, you know, I just hope, I would request, that in making this decision, you do put aside any personal feelings and judge the issue on the merits. And I do accept any decision made by this board. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to speak. Who on the floor? Oh, okay. Vin, no, I thought so. Yeah, hang on, Vin.
Just cut me down.
Okay. This is not personal. This is a major issue no matter who it would have come from. So, and ignorance is a lame excuse given all the experience we heard. Charles has been in the San Gabriel chapter long enough to know that this issue of privacy in the roster did not happen overnight. It happened some years ago. So for whatever reason you may have to do something, it was clear from the start that knowledge of what the San Gabriel Valley's roster privacy meant should not have been forgotten. So I just want everyone to know that whatever personal feelings that are going on anywhere, the bigger picture is a violation has occurred. And whomever, you know, did it, there are consequences to people's actions. So whatever you do will come around. Once you hit that anarchy, you can't take something back. And that happens on social media or anything else. So I just want the board and the membership to know, yeah, there are still some things to do. And it just goes to show you when there is an apparent disregard for certain things and all you want to do is get a point across and whatever happens, so be it. There are still consequences. Thank you.
Okay, so this is a tough vote for me. I don't always agree with Charles about a lot of things, but we go back a long, long time, and he has done some excellent work for this organization and for ACB in a number of areas, and I think that's important to note. However, it is the act. I think Vince is right, and if we were to do nothing, then the beginning of that roster, which specifically says that information is not supposed to be disseminated outside the chapter, would essentially be ignored. And the chapter's outrage, which is pretty intense and pretty understandable, would go without any kind of redress. So I think that although I regret having to do so in one way, that there's really no alternative in terms of being fair to the chapter, and they really come first in this particular case, and I too will have to vote for the motion of censure. Okay, there has been a call for the question by several. So all those in favor of the motion to censure say aye. Aye. All those opposed? Okay, the motion is carried. Oh, I'm sorry. Abstentions. Thank you. The motion is carried. Oh, yes. Gene would like to make another motion. And I'll let him do so.
Okay. I believe that even though, as I just said a few minutes ago, there is nothing clearly in the Constitution bylaws for us to take action. However, there is still, the board still can do something to at least try to deal with the damage that has occurred. First, I wish that we could, we had the budget that could buy all 58 members of the San Gabriel chapter identity theft insurance for the next year, but we don't have that. Now, the motion that I would like to make is, I would like to move that the board approve funds to be allocated if and when someone in the San Gabriel chapter has their theft, their identity stolen, that we will then step in and help them financially and what other means, resources we have to work with the chapter and that individual so that they are not out there on their own. And I believe we do have that ability to do that, and I would ask for a second.
Second.
Should I have a question about your motion?
Yes, here.
Let's say... I'll pick poor Mitch out. let's say Mitch leaves his credit card and somebody steals it, and they steal his identity because of that, and it's quite clear that's what happened. Is your motion going to mean we're going to cover? Okay, so you it would have to be somehow linked to. Okay, can you then make a friendly amendment to say that in your motion? Because it didn't say that.
I know I did.
Okay.
An oversight.
Let him make his first.
Friendly amendment to my motion is that the resources would be used after it can be proven that it is directly, that the theft is directly as a result of the disclosure of the San Gabriel chapter roster of members.
All right, and the seconder?
I agree.
Agree. Okay, now we're going down to Charles.
I got it.
Okay.
I would amend the motion to say that I, Charles Navarrete, would accept the financial responsibility for any such breach or liability.
Don't like that, only in the sense that...
No, use the mic.
Sorry. The only problem with that is that you could offer that, but I'm not sure that's friendly, because I think Gene would want the board to take responsibility anyway. And if you wanted to come to the board and say, hey, well, I want to do this, do you see where I'm going with what I'm saying? Yeah, no, I know. I applaud what you're saying. I don't know. Is it, Gene? Do you want it to go that way? How are you?
I want to go the way it is.
Okay, and then if you chose to come to the board and say, "Hey, this is, you know, I want to help with this," then you can do that. That's free. That you're free to do that. Okay. We have a motion on the floor. Do we have any discussion? Do we have any public comment? Yeah, Pam.
I have two, and I'll make them really fast. First of all, what good is purchasing something for a member who's already been breached? It'll be after the horse is already out of the barn. Second of all, I want to go on record as saying that there should be a motion put before the convention body and let it rise and fall on its own merit on whether Charles should be removed from the board, and I thank you.
What did you say?
Pam, could you repeat that? I know it's very emotional. Could you repeat the two things you asked for?
Okay, I'll try to be slow here. First of all, if anyone pays for a member who has been violated, whose information being sent out by Charles has caused identity fraud or theft, it's too late. It's after the horse is out of the barn. So, I mean, you know, they can do that for future, but it's too late. The second thing I said was I would like to go on record on behalf of my San Gabriel Valley chapter is asking that there be a motion announced Friday that can be put forth Sunday at the general session to rise and fall on its own merit as to remove Mr. Navarrete from the board, and I thank you.
Okay, so you that's not relevant to this motion. That's not really relevant to what the motion that Gene has on the floor. Okay, well, it's supposed to be. I'm not saying she can't do it either. I'm just saying... Okay. All right. I hear what you're saying, and it's duly noted, Pam. Yeah.
It's Debbie Cordero. Is it my turn or someone else?
Well, Mitch asked for the floor first.
It's been up. Okay. So. Gene, I applaud what you have put forth here, and speaking for myself, I've had identity theft I don't know how many times, and God only knows who did it, and I can't remember which one of you up there stated, and maybe it was Gina, I'm not sure who said, it has to be proven that it came from this email that went out. So I guess what my question is there's so many hackers out there that are hitting the community, including myself. How do you prove something that it came from what we're talking about? This is okay. Just piggybacking what, I don't know, Gina, if that's what
mm-hmm.
we're,
mm-hmm. yeah. Okay.
That's all.
Thank you. Good comment. Mitch next, and then Gene.
Whoops. Hello. All right. It's not on. I think we're losing a battery here. Regrettably, if I were sitting on the board, I would have to vote in opposition to this motion. It's not just difficult to prove how your identity was stolen. It's damn close to impossible. It is so prevalent these days that that's the cost of investigating and pinning down where the breach actually occurred can run into the high four figures, low five figures. This board absolutely wants to do the right thing by the members of the San Gabriel Valley chapter. Several of us are here, but it is a gesture that potentially we can't afford, but even if we could afford it, it may not be possible to address. So I'm simply indicating to the board that this has far greater ramifications than you may be aware, and it's just something that I honestly don't believe is feasible from a fiscal standpoint potentially, but also from a proof standpoint potentially.
I'm Mike Heathley. I just want to agree with Mitch. I think we're really opening a Pandora's box here for wasting our time because we can't, we can't prove anything. Thank you.
Okay, thank you for those comments. Anyone else?
Mr. President, as a point of information, I'm not entirely certain that I understand the implications or the entire ramifications of the motion. But if I do understand it correctly, then it would certainly be reasonable as an ethical matter for the board to authorize the purchase of identity theft insurance for any member who felt themselves at risk or was emotionally upset by this occurrence or who otherwise wanted the protection. It seems to me that is the least that we could do. I'm also concerned about our potential liability, not because the sources of people's identity theft can or cannot be proven, but because there are legal requirements regarding disclosure on a timely basis of that database breaches of one kind or another. But I do think that if I understand the resolution correctly, and if it does encompass the possibility of purchasing identity theft insurance for those members who were affected and who wish it, it would be a very appropriate thing to do.
Okay, so the motion wasn't to purchase identity theft insurance for people who are concerned. The motion, as I understood it, was that if there was an identity theft that had occurred, and then as the motion was amended anyway, that it was somehow linked to the email that we then assist. Okay, now I just wanted to make sure that he knew what the current motion was. If somebody wants to make it, if a board member wants to make it, then the board member can make it, try to make an amendment. Okay, there is a amendment. The motion has now been amended to authorize the purchase of insurance on behalf of anybody in the chapter who thinks they need it for 1 year, and that's the addition to the motion. Or is that all? Are we eliminating the rest of the motion? Which is it? Okay, so it's essentially you are... Okay, so we now have an amended motion that simply says we will purchase insurance for people for up to a year. We now have to debate that motion within the board first. So no more public comment at this point. And Artis was asking for the floor first.
I'm now a little bit more concerned because the insurance, the identity theft insurance is, $200 to $300 and for a year. And if we're saying that we'd do it to any member that was concerned, that could be 58 people. So that could amount to a lot of money, and we already have a negative budget. I guess I'd want to curtail it a little bit, and I'm not sure how we'd be able to curtail it as to which, person's, we could cover. So I don't know. I'm just concerned about the amount of money it could expose our budget to, considering the fact that we already have a negative budget.
I'm really torn between this motion. I wish we had some additional information on the cost and the liability that it may, due to if we pass a motion, affect CCB. I really feel uncomfortable passing this without any further additional information. I wish we could visit it after we get some additional information.
Yes, I'm going to recognize you. Mitch is going to sell LifeLock to everybody.
A couple of us already have LifeLock, but I believe from their commercials that their least expensive policy is somewhere around $10 or $11 per month, meaning over $120 a year. You multiply that times 50, and you see the potential exposure to CCB.
Okay, so any further discussion among the board? Okay, any further public comment on the amended motion? Okay, there's a call for the question. No, I'm sorry, we're back to the board. I'm still trying to get used to this format, and now I won't have to deal with it anymore. Somebody else can do it the right way. So we're back to the board. Oh, there is public. Okay, sorry, I did not hear the public, there was a new public comment.
Can I ask a question? What are we doing?
We're now back to public comment. We're back to public comment. He's as confused as I am, and I don't blame him.
She had a question before.
All right, you will be the first one with the mic when the board gets back to it.
This is Patricia Bogard.
You got a mic?
Okay, thank you. Shouldn't we decide that there's a problem before we start buying all this insurance? I mean, the likelihood is out there, but the likelihood of anybody being compromised by registering here at the hotel is a risk. And I say that because I don't know how many members here are members of Costco. But I just had an experience where Costco just sold all of my information to Citibank, who's now going to issue me a credit card for a Visa that I don't want, just so I can shop at Costco. So you never know the implications or how far this stuff will go. So I'm thinking it's just best to wait and see.
This is Louis. Offering somebody a credit card is fine. Having to pay for something somebody else bought is a different story. And identity theft is serious. My concern is we are hurting for money, and we shouldn't have to be expected to cover for somebody else's mistake. Somebody who's an attorney, somebody who's a judge, somebody who knows better and should have paid attention in law school. I don't think that this kind of crap should be going be up for discussion here. We have more advocacy work to do and not be babysitting somebody else's, what I consider to be childish behavior, because some things didn't go their way, so they're going to punish a whole group of people. That is pure irresponsible logic. And I think that CCB has got better things to do with its resources, and we don't have the money to be entertaining somebody's nonsense.
Robert, you're up.
I just want to agree with Peter. I think what I don't know is all of the additional ramifications. I just don't know. Even if by us making this commitment, what admissions are we making? That's it.
Okay, thank you. Gene?
Judy and I have... Are we on? Yeah. Judy and I have consulted, and we are withdrawing our motion. We want and feel that the board has some responsibility and needs to respect what has happened to the chapter's membership. And we don't feel just, or at least I'm speaking for myself, that just a censoring is all that we can do. We need to do something. And so we're withdrawing it. And what we will, pardon me, Jeff, but we will then move that the board within the next month consult with the San Gabriel Chapter Valley, its board and membership, to determine what, if anything, they can be done. We feel that we need to hear fully what the chapter's feelings are, and then come back to the board.
Okay. Do we have a second? Okay, so we have several seconds. Let me ask board members this. Is there anyone who does not agree? We have an executive session to do. We got to be out of here at 4. Is there anyone on this board who does not agree with this motion? Do we have debate on this motion? Hearing no debate, I would ask without objection that we pass this, or that we vote on this immediately, and see what happens with it. Since we have no apparent disagreement. Anybody ready for the question? Okay. All those in favor say aye. All opposed? Abstentions. All right. The motion is carried. Now, before we leave this topic, I need to respond to one public comment, because I have to before we get away, before we adjourn into executive session. Pam made a comment that you intend to bring up. I didn't hear it quite well, but that's my ear hearing problem. That you intend to bring up removal of tomorrow's session. That cannot be done. It will have to be done, and I will make it. Has to have 24 hours notice, which I will give of, you know, you have a right to bring that up. I will give the 24 hours notice tomorrow, and it can be brought up at the Sunday session. It cannot. Okay, somebody, Gene, I was told that you wanted to bring it up tomorrow. Oh, I'm sorry. I was misinformed. Oh, okay. Sorry about that, Pam. It will be done. It will be done. Okay. All right. Any other items to come before the board? Judy, yes. Wait a minute. You'll need a
mic. Documents here that suggest that we're meant to approve a treasurer's report. I suggest we don't do that today, and that we do postpone that. But we have the documents in front of us. Can we? Yeah, but I'm saying we have. So that was not because you were presenting a treasurer's report. Oh, okay. Okay, gotcha. Thank you.
No more public comment is going to be taken at this point. We are going to have a motion to adjourn into executive session. Once that motion is passed, we will try to clear this room in 5 minutes. And Brooks and Ronnie, if you can stay in for a bit, and we can help us do that, and we'll get moving as soon as we can. So we have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye. Opposed? But before you all leave, I want, since this is the last board meeting for several people, including a woman who served as an incredible president and as our immediate past president, including our first vice president, and including our budget chair. I'm sorry about you, the three of you, that we've had to do it this quickly, because it really is not fair. But let's hear a huge round of applause for all of the service that they've given us. All right, we are adjourned into executive session. If everybody can please leave as quickly as possible.